Where we go, we will follow. Where you go, we will follow. Where I go, we will follow. God, we give you thanks and praise for all of the ways that you gift us, with the ways that you allow us to serve others, with the ways that you let us be sponges to soak up all of the love and compassion you have for us. We thank you for the ways that you gift us with opportunities to make a difference. And we thank you even more when you help us realize those opportunities are before us. May you bless the meditations of our hearts. Bless this time together. Let us find meaning that we seek. Amen. Wow, what an amazing morning, huh? Yes? When Angelica contacted me and said, my mom would like to call for the offering, she told me a little bit about what would happen. And I met her mom for the first time this morning before the to kind of go over things, because there's a little emotion, isn't there, Mom? A little emotion. Just a bit. And I looked at the board in the back of the room. Turn around and look for a second. We gave out $20 to every person who was in church. Every single person. It didn't matter if you were the first time here, 50th time here, 2,000th time. Every person in church that Sunday got a $20 bill. And our charge was to go out and make a difference. And there's not enough stories back there for all of those $20 bills. So it was beautiful this morning to hear about a story where three different individuals received a $20 bill and what those $20 bills were used for. People we will never meet are blessed by that $20 bill. And if Angelica's mom had not been here, we would not have known necessarily, unless we read the stories, that that's how those funds were going to be used. We are truly blessed, are we not? There are some of you who have been without jobs, without housing, without love, without food. So don't hear this as if only people in Africa suffer. We have people who suffer here. We do. We have people who come to these doors on Wednesdays when the food bank is open, and they are suffering. But you don't have to have such a calamity to suffer. There are some of us who come to church with heavy hearts because we've had an argument or because we've encountered horrific news about someone that we love. We suffer too. And then this scripture says, you have to get rid of everything. You have to get rid of everything. I am here to bring hate. You have to hate your family in order to follow me. Now that doesn't sit well for me. How about for you? I don't want to hate my family. I don't want to have to hate. Feel such animosity in order to follow God. But we are the followers of how many lives before us that did have to live in that place. See, this is an ancient scripture. It's a scripture that we might initially think doesn't apply to us today. Back in the days that we were recording this scripture, there was hatred. You could not follow these new ways of believing that everyone should have access to God's all-inclusive love without causing some little ripple in your family. So, okay, how does it apply to us today? How many of you have had to do something even if it caused a little ripple in your family? Yes? So what kinds of things have we had to do?
Tell the truth.
You know that question, do I look fat in this? This is not the time to tell the truth. It's really not, because there's no winning in that question. But if the question is, I'm going to use these negative words to talk about people, is that okay? That's a time to tell the truth, right? What are some other things that we've done that have caused ripples in our families? Wear a dress. Tell them what others have said. Have a baby. Refuse to wear a dress. I love this church. I love this church. Say it again. Get married. Did you see that the Internal Revenue Service is now going to extend? It doesn't matter where you're married. You count as married. It doesn't matter if you live in a state where marriage is legal. If you are married in some state where it is legal and live in another state, you count as married. That caused a ripple. It caused a ripple. So the purpose of this scripture is that we have to think about what it is that we do that may cause a ripple. That's the cost of believing. That's the cost of believing. You have to sometimes label yourself, I may be a Christian or I may be a Muslim, but I do not agree with other Christian actions or other Islamic actions. That's the cost of believing. You may be in a situation where you say, we are friends, but what I'm doing is unethical, and I have to be called on the carpet for that. I have to be said to, Tammy, that is not acceptable in our friendship or in our relationship. Now, if you're a parent, you've definitely had to do some things that cause ripples in your relationship, right? You've had to sometimes do what we call tough love with children. And there should be then an expectation that our God would have to do that with us sometimes. That sometimes what we're doing has to be called into question too. But I want to take this to an even more personal level. Do we have any shoppers in the room? Do we have some shoppers in the room? Yeah? So how about any of this kind of shopper? Ooh, I like that. I'll take two of those. Oh, I haven't. Yeah, I gotta have that. Oh, wait a minute. Where'd you get those boots? I need a pair of those. Can I have that necklace? Where did you get that? Do we have any of those kind of shoppers in the room? Oh, come on now. Let's be honest. We're in church. Yeah, we got a few. I don't see a hand up here. We got a few of those kinds of shoppers in the world, right? Yeah? A friend of mine from work, I kid you not, took clothes to a consignment, clothes and shoes to a consignment, not you. Somebody at work, because, you know, yours don't go to consignment. I think that came out wrong. Let's go back to the consignment story. So her name is Joyce, and she took stuff to the consignment. And then guess what? A few months later, she was shopping at the consignment. I don't think it was months. And she bought her own shoes again. Now, hand to God. I'm like, so you paid for your own shoes twice? You did it at church? Something given to the yard sale and then bought it again? Well, that just says that's something you need to have. Yeah, absolutely. Because then the church wins two times, right? You gift it and you purchase it. I'm thinking that's a new strategy, Kevin. What do you think? Now, on the other hand, there are those people who, like this scripture says, really sit down and methodically plan for the most minuscule type purchase, especially the big ones. Do we have any people like that? Okay, I see less hands, but I see some hands, right? So, you know, we're the people who, and I'm saying we, because I'm raising my hand, we search consumer reports, We read Consumer Digest. We do comparison shopping. We are the people who really plan before we make a purchase. And sometimes we've planned so long the thing isn't available anymore. Right? We can't just... Did I hear that's a strategy? You know, I knew there was a reason we really got along there. Both types of consumers have an occasion where they have to consider the cost. Now, you may have a situation where it doesn't matter what it costs. You may have occasions where you're going to have it no matter what it costs. And then there may be occasions when the cost is going to prevent you from having it no matter how much you desire to have it. And I think that's where this scripture can take us. Because we're not talking about the baubles that we buy at, I don't even know the names of the stores. You name them, whatever they are. Whatever they may be, you name them for yourself. What we're really talking about, the application in our personal lives is, are we investing in the things that matter? Are we spending the time with our family? Are we spending the time making a difference in the lives of orphans we may never meet? Are we spending the time making a difference in the lives of the children who will grow up in this world and inherit what we leave them? Not monetarily, but in terms of the environment. I can remember a time when it didn't matter if I had 15 plastic bottles or 100. They went in the garbage can. Are we investing in our future? Most of us recycle because we've realized that that's an investment we need to make in the future. It doesn't cost us anything to do it. But there are some things that cost us greatly. When you have to have that tough conversation with someone who's in your family about that behavior is not acceptable, that's a cost. But it's one worth paying. You may have a relationship with someone where you are not being treated the way you deserve to be treated. And at some point, you'll have to make a decision about the cost. You may have a dream that you want to go to school, that you want to get training, that you want to become licensed to do something. And whoever is in your life doesn't invest in that, doesn't believe in that. There will be a cost of believing in your dream. How many of you make plans for the future? There's a cost to follow those plans. I'm looking in the congregation at some of you who have recently retired. There's a cost of believing in your retirement dreams. There's a cost of dream. If you believe, if you have a dream that you want a wedding, there's a cost for believing in that dream. And if we're not willing to put the energy into those beliefs, if we're not willing to put our money, if you will, where our mouth is, our hearts and our actions aligning, then we are not going to achieve our dreams. And what the scripture says is you have to think of the cost before you follow, before you start out on that path. Every day I drive into my neighborhood past a home that's been under construction as long as I can remember. And I've lived where I live for over 10 years. Every day. And so one day, I happened to have the opportunity to run into them, didn't even know who they were, at the grocery store. And our carts bumped into one another and we started talking and they realized that I used to be principal at the school, and so that opened the door of all the things, you know, about the kids, which is great. And during the conversation, the father said, "You know, we've been using our rolled coins to build this addition to our house." Now, I don't know about you. That's a lot of rolled coins to build an addition onto a house. I don't know what an addition cost in today's construction dollars, but I know 10 years ago when I was looking at remodeling the house that I'm in, it was going to be $27,000 to add a room to the house. So that's a lot of rolled coins to make an addition to a house. But every night, the family emptied its pockets of change, and they rolled those coins. And when they got $250, they went to the store, and they bought $250 worth of materials. They're not done, but the building addition has windows and a roof with shingles now. So they're there, they're almost there. But if you've ever done any construction, you know there's still a lot of expense left, right? They are willing to pursue their dreams. And they have found a way in their budget, in their family, that aligns their efforts towards pursuing those dreams. That is their cost of believing. They forego a vacation, they roll their coins, and sooner or later, they'll have that addition. How many of us are that patient? I know I'm not. But we are patient about the things that matter to us. So it's really, this scripture is an invitation for us to think about what it is that matters. And therefore, how can we look at what matters and invest in it for us? Now, I'm going to say something, church, that's not easy to say. There's not enough of us in these seats. There's not. This church makes a difference in lives in Africa. We never know. It makes a difference to us, or we wouldn't be here. That little guy sitting right there, Elijah, this church makes a difference because he is loved here no matter how often he's here, how often his grandmother is here, what happened in his life to bring him here. He is welcome here. This church makes a difference. And in order for us to ensure this church continues, even now when it's hard, we have to believe. And there is a cost for that. So church, when our pastor left, she charged us with this. Don't let this church disappear. Don't let this church disappear. Don't let people stop coming because there's no pastor here. Don't let this church disappear because you disagree with the decision that's made. Don't let this church disappear because the ministry leader for whatever ministry does whatever has decided, I've taken all I can take, I need a break. We have to believe. And when we believe, we have to be willing to invest in that belief. So come on, church. Look at the people next to you and make a commitment to them. I believe. I believe in you. I believe that this church needs to make a difference in the lives of people we don't even know. And you make a commitment. I'm coming even if there is the Church of the NFL on TV. There's a DVR button. I'm coming, church, even if it means I'm not meeting my friends until later in the morning. And when I'm here, if they need an usher, I'll be an usher. If they need someone in the sound booth, by gosh, I'll learn from Mac. Look at this choir and how it has grown. Look at these musicians. There is a cost of believing. The question is, are we willing to make that investment? Are we willing to say, just like our pastor left us with this message, if you can use anyone, God, use me. Because the cost of believing is one I'm willing to pay because I believe this is a church that needs to exist. I believe this is a relationship that needs to exist. I believe this is a future we need to secure for our sons and daughters, whether we know them or not, our friends and neighbors who need to know there is a place in Tampa you can come, and it doesn't matter if you don't ever want to wear a dress or you want to wear a dress. It doesn't matter if you want to come incognito or come and be named, there is a place God will love you exactly as you've been created. Amen? Amen. God, we thank you for this message, for these words, for these thoughts, for the opportunities that we have. Because, God, we know we are your emissaries, and what we do matters. And what we matter, what we concern ourselves with, is how we share your love with the world. Amen.
I see the God.